That's a powerful video, isn't it? Just a simple, remarkably simple, about real person. They were not actors. I want to show you that because I want to remind you that God works in the lives of real people, making them ready to hear and respond to the gospel, to encourage you to be active in sharing your faith. But the video brings out the truth that you were bought at a price. The price is here. We're reminded of the price. It is Christ Jesus. Over the last couple of weeks, we've read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. Or chapter 7, verse 23. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. It seems that Paul is repeating this point because it's important for us to understand. Your time, your resources, your energy, your very body is not to be used any way you wish. If you have a relationship with Jesus as Lord, I'm talking about. If you have a relationship with Jesus as Lord, they're not your own. You're willingly giving yourself over to Jesus for him to use as he wishes. Even your dreams, your desires, your ambitions are not your own, they are Christ's. The other reason I want to show this video is it shows the difference between the power of knowledge and the power of love. The guy was seeking knowledge. He had apparently all the faculties up here to be able to find not the secret to life, but was always left unsatisfied until he experienced love. We don't want to be people who somehow undervalue knowledge. We love knowledge. We enjoy knowledge. But that's not the end, is it? The end is not knowledge. The end is love. Knowledge is a wonderful blessing to the world, but our aim is to love. The world tells us that education is the answer to every problem, to drug use, poverty, slavery and war. They almost present it as if uneducated people wouldn't fight wars or wouldn't have drug problems. But of course we see, in every way, educated, uneducated people, it doesn't matter, they still suffer from these things. I couldn't help but think that the greatest weapons of mass destruction are always created by intelligent people. It's not the dumb old private in the army who devised these things. It's always scientists, the most educated. Which shows me that we can't solve our own problems. The Corinthian church were heavily influenced by their culture, just as we are today. The Corinthians were proud of their superior understanding of the spiritual things, I would call it. And they went far, far further than Paul had taught them. Last week, JJ presented from chapter 7, which was the Corinthians' messed up understanding of sex. That somehow sex was bad, sex to be avoided, and that you were less than spiritual if you're involved in having sex. It was a great... It's on the website. I encourage you to listen to it. But today we're going to look at some issues from chapters 8 to 10. We can't go into every detail, but I'm trying to pick out the heart of it. And here we see a situation in the Corinthians where knowledge was more important than love. Let me read to chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Now we know about food sacrificed to idols. Food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. Paul is talking about a situation in the ancient world, in Corinth, in a situation where if you went to the market and you bought meat, it would have been meat that was sacrificed in the temple first, and then it would come out and be sold. So you couldn't actually eat meat. Well, it would be very hard to find meat that has not been sacrificed to idols. Now, you may think this is a far removed situation from us today, but you know, I was thinking that it's not, is it? Here in Doonside today, you can buy and purchase meat that has been first prayed to a false god, halal meat. The meat is prepared in a certain way, prayed to the Muslim god before the animal is killed. And so I was actually thinking, the more I thought about it, the more, actually this is more relevant to us today. We have two ways that we go ahead in dealing with any issue, not just meat that's been sacrificed to idols, any issues. We can go through what we know, or we go by what we love. Knowledge says that there's no idols really, there's no other gods, so the meat sacrificed to those gods, it does nothing. There's no value, it doesn't hurt the meat at all, we can eat. But what happens when, that Corinthian church, this person who's just come to faith, they're very steeped in, they've just maybe come out of their paganism, they've come out of their belief in other idols, and there they are, they've got this meat before them, which they know was sacrificed to idols. You see how much it might tear them apart? They don't have the knowledge that maybe the more mature person has. And so to sit and to eat meat in front of that person may cause them great anguish. It'll cause them to stumble. Have you ever had anyone say to you, don't worry about it, it's okay. It's not wrong. You can do this. And I don't think you ever feel that it's okay. If you believe it's wrong, and you do it, people saying, don't worry about it, it's okay, doesn't help that feeling that I'm doing the wrong thing. What is the loving thing to do, the loving way? Well, you can have your understanding, you can hold to that, but when you invite that new Christian who's just come out of worshipping other gods, you have a vegetarian move, eh? You don't have to have meat. And these things, like, just because I have this knowledge doesn't mean I have to force it on you. Forcing your ideas on others is not right. That's why it says knowledge puffs up. Because you know what? The knowledge is my knowledge. I'm right. If you've got a problem with that, you've got the problem. See, I'm puffed up. I'm proud. But what does love do? Love cares for the other person. Several years ago, we had a Muslim guy come over to watch the Nativity movie. Christmas time is often shown. It was a barbecue, and I knew he's a Muslim. What do? I go to the halal butcher and ask for meat that he can eat, that we all ate that day. The prayers to Allah goes nowhere. I'm free to eat that meat. But without that, he wasn't free to come and share it. The day before, he rang me and he's sort of talking about, in an awkward way, the food. And I could say to him, don't worry, it's halal. He was like, what have I done there in showing love to the guy? I've made a way that we can have a relationship, that he can come, that we can share a meal, that we can share this nativity movie, which shows the birth of Jesus and the remarkable way God has touched it. I'm free, I have knowledge. I have knowledge that it doesn't matter if it's halal or not. Who cares? But my love says, go out and buy it and eat it. Look at verse 3. But the man who loves God is known by God. Love and knowledge is all about God. Because God is truth, it's all about God. Do we know why it's all about God? Because we were bought at a price. We are God's possession. Let's think about this loving one another for a moment. We love. Why do we love? Because God first loved us. That's why we love. God loves us. God has shown us enormous love. And that is why we are to love as believers, as followers of Jesus. So when we show love to another person, it's not just because we like that person. It's because God says, well, I love you, you love them, because I love them. Love this person because I love that person, and you love me. And so we love each other, hopefully because we like each other, but much more importantly, because we love our God. We love because God first loved us, and we see each other the way God sees us. We are people loved by God. There is a married couple here amongst you right now. I'm not going to mention their names, whose daughter went off to study many years ago and eventually brought home a long-haired, tattooed guy, and she confessed her love for this guy. You're the parents of this daughter. What do you do? Those wise parents accepted and loved that guy, not because he was a great guy, but because their daughter loved the guy. He turned out to be a great guy, but they accepted him because of the love they had for their daughter, which was very wise. But in the same way, we follow Christ, and we're to love each other, not because we particularly like each other, but because God first loved us. I know that as we love each other, we will enjoy the love for one another will grow, the enjoyment with one another, but we don't actually, don't love me just because you think I'm a nice guy, because that will soon wear out. Let me guarantee you, that will wear off when you get to know me. Love me because, well, you know what, I'm loved by God. Paul, I want to move to another issue in chapter 9. Paul moves to this issue that he will later have to explore in his second letter, 1 Corinthians 9. It's to do with support for gospel workers. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Does the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's been treading out the grain. Is it about an ox that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this is written for us, because with the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use that right. On the contrary, we put up with another rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. It's plain from scripture and other places, here and other places, that a church community should come together to support a person that they've set apart for the gospel work. It's a plain and right and proper thing to do. And I stand here before you as a person who has been supported financially by this church. And you have cared for my family's needs wonderfully over those years. And I think it's important that we do not think like the world in this area. I'm not paid by the church. I do not receive a wage. I am an employee of the church in the eyes of the government, yes, legally. But the moment I'm treated like an employee in the church, it's really the day that I will act like an employee and hand in my resignation. There's a very strong movement against with churches to somehow see as their pastors as employees of the church, paid staff. And we need to stand against that. It's gone so far that some pastors actually get paid performance bonuses. You get enough baptisms in a year, you get more memberships in a year, you raise the church finances, and you get paid a performance bonus. Of course, their Lord is not Jesus Christ. Their Lord is what Jesus says, mammon or money. It's an idea that's an abomination against the Lord. I don't know if I've ever used that word in a sermon before, abomination. I've read it, of course, but I don't think I've ever used it. But let me use it again. It's an abomination against the Lord that somehow we go this way. There was a problem in Corinth, and Paul wanted to correct it. The problem was that the way they understood Paul, they understood what Paul was. Let me give you an example so I can explain it a bit better. When we're door knocking, the thing about door knocking is you're one of three people, aren't you? You're a Mormon, you're a JW, or you're here to sell something, aren't you? I used to hate the fact that you knock on a door, I've got to convince them I'm not a Mormon, I'm not a JW, I'm not here to sell you anything. And once you get past that, you can actually have a conversation. But Paul came to Corinth, he brought new ideas, the people gathered round them. He could easily be mistaken for travelling teachers, philosophers that were happening around who were there just to get money, to raise funds for themselves. So to make sure that they did not make that mistake, Paul accepted no money from them. You'd think that'd be a good thing, wouldn't you? But it was seen as a bad thing because people couldn't boast that my teacher is a very wealthy man. But Paul didn't accept any money from the Corinthians. He accepted it from the other churches to support him, but not the Corinthians, because it might mess up their understanding of who he is. They might actually start thinking of him like one of those philosophers who are here to get money. They might start thinking of him as if he's an employee of the church. And so Paul didn't accept any money. Well, Westview Baptist Church has ensured that I've had my needs met and the needs of my family for almost 20 years. We've never been in need as a family. We've always had more than we've needed. At the end of Bethany's school, she applied for a grant that she was eligible for, and the school had to endorse it. It was then the deputy principal wrote, and what she wrote is how Bethany discovered that she was socially disadvantaged. She didn't know that before that point, that she was socially disadvantaged. And we all had a good laugh about it at the end of that day. If our experience of social disadvantage, everyone would want it. It has never been really my desire to reach a certain amount of income, even the things that are recommended by the Baptist Union, because you've been far more generous in so many other ways. What brings glory to God more? That I can stand here after 20 years and say that you've always been more than generous in your support for myself and my family and our needs, or that you fulfilled the requirement and paid me what I deserved? Well, soon Westview will have another person employed by the church in the government's eyes. And I would encourage JJ, at the moment he starts feeling like just an employee of the church, when he starts feeling like that, he should go and find a church that really does love and follow Jesus. We're not driven by business principles, because business principles do not factor in love. Think about it. Business does not factor in love. Business factors in profits. But I know that I can be confident that JJ will not have that experience. Paul's focus of our life at the end of chapter 10 in the most basic way. What could be more simple than the everyday part of life, eating and drinking? Look at chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew or Greeks or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If you can eat and drink to the glory of God, that means you can do anything to the glory of God. Because these are things that we do every single day. Paul says, do it to the glory of God, whatever you do. If I'm living my life under the Lordship of Jesus, my whole life is living for the purpose of the glory of God. And even eating and drinking, I mean, God hasn't freed us up from the need to eat and drink. We all need sleep. We all need to maintain our bodies to keep them healthy, to give them rest. Even our celebration, we can celebrate to the glory of God because He has given us these things. It's a part of the joy of life that He gives us in relationships. The purpose of our life is to bring glory to God so that we cannot do anything to intentionally cause people to stumble. In this way, Paul wants us to follow his example as he follows the example of Christ, who for the glory of God went to the cross so that our sins would no longer be held against us. He died the death that we deserved so that God might receive much glory. How? In having many sons and daughters. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Just while I read it, JD is going to come up the front here because I've asked him just. We're going to sing a song together that's inspired by this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, from whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. The question is, what sort of son and daughter are you going to be? Will you be one that brings glory to the Father like Jesus did? Even in the inconvenient times, even in the difficult times, by putting people first, will you bring glory to your Father? For under the Lordship of Jesus, that's the only way we can follow him. So we're going to sing this song together, and then Lynn's going to come and pray for us before we close.